Welcome to the Darlington Extra podcast channel, working with communities, staff and partners to provide positive outcomes.
Hello everyone, this is Martin Webster, Workforce Development Manager. I'm joined today by Chris Ashford, who's going to introduce himself in a second, and we're going to be talking about professional challenge.
Good morning everybody. So I'm Chris Ashford and I'm the multi-agency safeguarding trainer for the Safeguarding Partnership in Darlington. And today we'll be talking about professional challenge and the overall aims of the session. So we will be covering what is meant by the term professional challenge, potential areas of disagreement, and a look at the Darlington Safeguarding Partnership procedures and the guidance that's been developed by the partnership for effective challenge in Darlington.
So this is a very informal briefing session. You can use this in team meetings and you can use this in one-to-ones as well. We'll also be saving it on the Workforce Development intranet pages as well as the Safeguarding Partnership pages as well. So you'll be able to access it in a number of different places. Chris, can you tell us a little bit about what is professional challenge?
Yeah, so the term professional challenge is used to describe conversations and discussions. So it can either be within your organisation or between organisations. And ultimately, it's to ensure that children and adults are safe and receive appropriate support where concerns have been identified. It should be viewed as a positive activity and is, of course, very good practice. If we feel that any interventions or actions are not effective or appropriate, we should all feel confident and empowered to challenge where we feel it is appropriate to do so.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about the safeguarding partner procedures then, Chris?
The procedures and guidance tell us that it's vitally important that any differences do not affect potential positive outcomes for children and for adults. The Darlington safeguarding procedures provide a clear process and guidance for all practitioners who may wish to challenge decisions. It also provides support and advice to enable them to escalate concerns which are not able to be resolved at the initial practitioner level. The procedures describe the purpose of professional challenge, crucially the threshold for reporting, a procedural flowchart, and a professional challenge recording tool. It also covers challenging professional non-compliance with the child protection process and challenging the outcome of and planning of strategy meetings or reviews. So in actual fact, it can be used in many different circumstances.
Thanks, Chris. Can we talk a little bit about disagreements and the potential of disagreements and what happens around disagreement?
Yeah, so of course, this can be far and wide. Many examples of where professionals may disagree with decisions or indeed outcomes. Some of the examples may be perhaps response to concerns that have been raised by yourselves, decisions on thresholds for levels of intervention. And of course, intervention can cover different areas of intervention, from support for children, for families, for adults, through to compulsory interventions where there are significant concerns. Perhaps simply not recognizing or acknowledging signs of harm, including, crucially, cumulative harm caused by multiple episodes. It may be around outcomes of assessments carried out or issues around mental capacity. It may be around consent, the need to gain consent from parents and carers, children, or the adult at risk of abuse or neglect. Understanding guidance on when consent will need to be obtained and where is not required. It can be when it is necessary to convene multi-agency meetings, the roles and responsibilities of each practitioner, and the provision of services. And lastly, sharing of information and recording practice, and of course, any other areas of disagreement.
And in terms of the confidence of staff in terms of disagreements, Chris, how important is it that staff are able to confidently discuss and talk about these things?
It really is vitally important important, and what, and we'll look at later, what many serious case reviews and safeguarding adults reviews are telling us, that people do have disagreements. They do. They are uncomfortable with decisions, but they perhaps do not feel empowered or in a position themselves to challenge those decisions. And the overall message from today is please have that confidence. And if you do disagree with something, then do challenge.
So in terms of professional challenge, there are a number of different stages to the process. Can you talk us through stage one, please, Chris?
Yeah. So stage one. So if you're unhappy about any decision, action, or indeed lack of action, you or your designated lead or designated safeguarding manager should in the first instance speak to the person or agency who has made the decision. It's about expressing your views. And really, it's about attempting to resolve the issues at that point. So this can be on an informal basis, but of course should be done as soon as possible. And I would also say that you should record this action. Yeah, a clear action of the reason for the disagreement. Yeah, and the outcome, the discussion and the outcome. It's vitally important, actually. Timing is important, that it's done at the earliest opportunity. And as I said, it is on an informal basis. Although the term is professional challenge, yeah, it is about having discussions. It's about conversations. Ultimately, it is about ensuring that children and adults are safeguarded.
Great, thanks. We'll continue with the process and the different stages. So we'll move on to stage two.
So we've talked about stage one, and clearly the what we would like to happen is that those issues are resolved at stage one, but sometimes that can't happen for different reasons. And so, of course, if the issues cannot be resolved at stage one, then you should move to stage two. Okay, so at stage two, your concerns should be discussed with the respective line manager of the worker who has made that decision or their designated safeguarding lead. Your line manager should then review the information, and if it is felt appropriate, they should liaise on your behalf with the manager of the person subject to the challenge. And of course, I would say that you should be involved in this, albeit it suggests that your line manager should take a lead on that action. You should be involved in this at every point, and there should be a clear record of this action.
Thanks. Let's move on to stage three.
So moving forward, stage three. So what stage three tells us is that if the issue is not resolved at stage two, and if you, your manager, deem it appropriate, then we should be looking at an interagency meeting. Okay, so the meeting should be held. At the meeting, again, a clear record of the discussion should be kept, and the agreed actions and outcomes should be made. A professional challenge recording tool is available, and a copy, if it is at stage three, a copy of that, of your recording tool, should be shared with the Safeguarding Partnership Business Unit.
Excellent. And stage four of the process?
So moving forward again, stage four tells us that if not resolved at stage three, you and your manager or designated safeguarding lead or designated safeguarding manager should again escalate to the agency head of service in an attempt to resolve the issue. Of course, timings are important. Okay, it's important this is done at the earliest opportunity. Okay, and as I say, clearly a decision should be made and reached as soon as possible. And throughout the process, at whatever stage we are, we should be ensuring the safety and well-being of children and adults takes precedent over any stalemate.
And we'll move on to stage five.
So again, moving on, stage five is the stage at which challenge should be reported to the Statutory Safeguarding Partnership for independent scrutiny. And at that scrutiny, there should be a review of the challenge up to that point, what has been done to address the challenge, the outcome of any actions, how was the issue resolved, and are all professionals crucially satisfied with the outcome? A decision will then be made on the next course of action. And as I say, that is at an independent level.
So we've talked about the different stages. From a kind of a scenario kind of point of view, Chris, how often does professional challenge lead to kind of your kind of stage 3, stage 4, stage 5? Is it something that happens a lot, or do things usually get kind of discussed and things sorted out in the earlier stages?
Evidence would tell us that actually it's that initial stage, that's the important stage, stage 1, that earliest opportunity for discussions. And by professionals not seeing it as a challenge on their personal, perhaps, decision-making ability or their own abilities, but actually that open, honest discussion, then issues predominantly are addressed at stage 1. However, I think I should add that there are many examples, and I mentioned previously about serious case reviews, safeguarding adults reviews, many examples in reviews and audits of a lack of professional challenge, missed opportunities, resulting in escalation, of course, escalation of those concerns, potentially resulting in significant harm. And unfortunately, on occasions, the evidence will tell us those serious case reviews, safeguarding adults reviews will tell us that it has led to the death of children and the death of adults at risk of abuse or neglect. This includes challenge to both other professionals and parents and carers. So it's not just about challenging other professionals, other practitioners, of course. It's important on occasions that there is challenge to parents and carers. It really is important that all practitioners do have the confidence to challenge, and I will say where appropriate, of course, and at the appropriate level. Okay. There are many examples, as I say, and examples can be found on the Darlington Safeguarding Partnership website.
Thanks, Chris. In terms of kind of key findings, can you explain a bit more about that as well?
So again, from serious case reviews, from safeguarding adults reviews, key findings tell us that every one of us should be comfortable to challenge when seeking outcomes from referrals, requesting copies of minutes or information that hasn't been shared or shared in a timely fashion. We should all feel confident, and really that is the purpose of this session, just to reinforce that. Many professionals are confident to challenge decisions, and it happens on many occasions, but evidence is telling us that it doesn't always happen. We should be confident to use the procedure and guidance that's been produced. We should be able to challenge families when improvements are not made. And lastly, to challenge parents about their behaviour when we believe that disguised compliance is a feature.
Thanks for that, Chris. Just before we wrap up this session, for those that are listening, are there any kind of key points that you think that we've raised throughout that are important that you share now with our audience, Chris?
I think really it's an overview, isn't it? And the overview is, look, we've provided this session for you, but it's just to take a step back, okay, and think, do I have the confidence? And the answer is you should have the confidence to challenge. Every person should have the confidence or be in a position to challenge. If it's not you, then speak to your designated safeguarding lead, your designated safeguarding manager, and get them to challenge on your behalf. And crucially, what we're saying today is there is that procedure within the safeguarding partnership. There is that guidance. It is there to support you. Okay, it's there to give you that confidence to challenge where appropriate and to identify if your initial challenge at stage one isn't successful, you are still unhappy with the outcome, as an example, then you should move through the stages until you are in a position to say, yes, I am comfortable with the outcome. Because ultimately, this is purely and simply about ensuring that the children of Darlington, yeah, the adults at risk of abuse or neglect, are safeguarded.
That's great. Thanks very much for your time, Chris. Much appreciated. And we'll end our recording there.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Darlington Extra podcast on our Darlington Extra podcast channel. For more great content, make sure you subscribe now.